and how might we care better? So people will come round. If you have ideas as I speak this morning, then please do look at those and we'll collect them in at the end. While that gets round, I'll just get myself ready. I can repeat the question. The questions will come up. But the questions are, within NMBC, how are we caring for each other well, and how might we care better? Excuse me a moment. Well, good morning again. Many years ago, our neighbours were having a new bathroom put in. Jill and I said to Robert, our neighbour, if at any time you want to come in and have a shower, or you just need some hot water, do let us know. It was a small and seemingly insignificant gesture. All of us here, I'm sure, would have done the same. Except it wasn't insignificant. That conversation developed into a friendship with Robert, which led to his attendance here at an Alpha course, to him becoming a Christian, and he said, "You showed you cared." We're into chapter 5 of Paul's letter to Timothy, and thank you to Leaping for reading for us, and we're dealing with care matters, because care matters. And that's why we've got questions for us just to think about as I speak this morning. Within NMBC, how are we caring for each other well? How might we care better? And if you're a guest here this morning, a special welcome to you. Perhaps, how would you expect us to care? Note the questions are phrased, how might we care better, rather than how might we do better? Perhaps caring actually involves doing less. I am so grateful to Roger, who 4 weeks ago explained how we can separate out the principles of Paul's teaching, which remain true from the application, which related to challenges within the first century Ephesus church. So if you're looking for me this morning to direct the behavior of young widows, I'm sorry, I'm going to be disappointing you. The principle behind our passage this morning appears to be the subject of care. Look, please, at some of Paul's early instructions. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him, encourage him. Treat young men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. 3 points then, as you would expect. Care matters. Our God cares. Our God cares for all, including the shunned. Our God's care is made complete as we love one another. And that's that third part that I'm hoping we can all contribute to. Our God cares. It's all about God's heart. Our recent visitors from Precept Ministries emphasized the importance of looking at the purpose of Paul's letter. He's writing to Timothy to encourage him to ensure that the gospel is faithfully presented and that false teaching is rejected. If we just look at the early chapter, the first chapter in chapter 1, there is so much passion that comes through Paul's writing. Grace, mercy, and peace are from God. Sound doctrine conforms to the glorious gospel of God. The grace of God was poured out on me abundantly. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is Paul's passion, that the gospel is preached. And if you want to look elsewhere, in the Old Testament, in Nahum, the promise, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And I'm sure a verse we're all familiar with, but one that I take hold of each day. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for me. I remember, whether you remember those sticks of rock you can buy at the seaside. Congratulations to anyone who's actually finished a stick of rock. It's usually something you eat about an inch of, and the rest goes in the bin. But that stick of rock you can buy has the words all the way through. Blackpool, Southend, wherever you happen to be. So wherever you break it, you will still see the word. That actually says Brighton Rocks if you're trying to struggle to look at it. We could never do so. But if we ever saw a cross-section of God's backbone, if we ever put his DNA under eye microscope, it would have love written across every single cell. Love written right through. Look in verse 2 of Genesis. God saw that the light was good. He cared about how he formed the earth, and he continues to care. Look at the end of John's letter. John, who lived with the Son of God for 3 years, who saw the way he looked at people, who saw his touch, who saw him weep with the bereaved. John, who stood at the foot of the cross as Jesus died. This was his testimony. Simply, God is love. Our God is a God who cares. That's Paul's message. He wants the gospel in its presentation to flourish. That if indeed God is the God of grace and the God of comfort, he wants that to be exemplified by the way we care for one another. And that theme has already come out in the first part of what we've talked about this morning. So let me use the analogy of the plant, visual aid for us. I'm keen for it to grow. I've rescued it from the squirrels at least once. I want it to bloom. She's doing all right. It's not actually going to bear fruit, so I can't develop the analogy that far. But we want our gospel presentation here to flourish and to know that God cares. Now look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, and a care problem that had arisen in Ephesus. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Without care. Yeah, I'm really glad you said no. Jill knows the way I try and look after plants. But that's the point, isn't it? We want our gospel presentation here to flourish, but without care. In the absence of care, the presentation of the gospel is as good as dead. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, he has denied the faith. Faith is as good as dead. And as much as Paul wrote that to an errant father, it applies to the church community. I'm reminded of Scott Williamson, a former pastor here, who said, "Folk will not care for what we say until they know we care." Folk will not care for what we say until they know we care. Jesus actually goes further. He says, don't just look after those who love us. Even the tax collectors do that. If we greet only brothers, well, what are we doing more than others? God's caring intent goes far beyond. Care's at the heart of the gospel. I can recount many occasions when others have cared for us, or when we've been able to care for someone. It warms our hearts. It actually reminds us that that is how life is worth living. It works. Maybe for a short moment, but that short moment is a reflection of what is going on in God's heart all the time. Let's take encouragement from what would be familiar verses to us. Let us love one another. Why? For love comes from God. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. We know and rely on the love God has for us. We love because he first loved us. Our God is a God of care. Our God's care is for all. No one is shunned. A problem has arisen in the Ephesus church as there are numerous widows living in poverty, vulnerable at that time because there's no government assistance or pensions available for them. So Paul directs the church to make provision for them, but also to be wise in discernment between those families who should bear first responsibility and those who are left alone. Widows may be shunned in Ephesian society. Widows are not shunned by God. And Roger highlighted a number of biblical heroes for us who were widows. Anna, worshipping day and night in the temple, fasting and praying, and rewarded with meeting Jesus as an 8-day-old baby when he was presented in the temple by his parents. Another widow, nameless, but the widow who presented 2 small copper coins out of her poverty. And Jesus' commendation is still written and read 2,000 years later. The widow at Zarephath who fed the prophet Elijah and who saw miraculously that her jar of flour and her jar of oil never ran dry, and who later saw her son restored to life. Naomi and Ruth, the great-grandmother of David, Israel's most famous king. The psalmist wrote, and we've already looked at it, Chung gave us this verse at the beginning, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Widows may have been shunned by Ephesian society. In Jesus' eyes, widows are heroes. Convention is turned on its head. So we have perhaps the uncomfortable question, are we shunning or ignoring anyone who visits us here this morning? If this is your first time, your 100th time, your 1,000th time, I hope you felt the welcome that says, I'm glad you're here. To everyone here this morning, we are so glad you're here. And the ongoing question for us comes back, how do we offer care in your situation? That may be, take quite a bit of working through, but we are here to work through with you. Our God cares. Our God cares for all. Our God's care is made complete as we love one another. John wrote, if we love one another, God lives in us. That's worth a wow. His love is made complete in us. It's worth 2 wows. Jill and I recently bought a new fridge freezer. It was designed, I think, in Germany, manufactured in Turkey, sold to us by a company never knowingly undersold, delivered by two heavies who, like us, were mightily relieved when it fitted, as it did. But the whole purpose behind that guy designing something in the laboratory is incomplete without one thing. I'm required to switch it on. If I switch it on, I'm connected to everything that has happened before. I'm connected to the intent of the designer back in Germany. So let's look at that verse again. John writes that God's love is made complete as we love one another. Turn that round. Without that love, God's love is somehow incomplete. The circle has a gap. God's purpose in demonstrating his love for the world is completed by us loving one another. He invites his church into partnership that his love is made complete in us. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That's daunting. That sounds like a responsibility. But on the other hand, it's so encouraging because it's connecting us to the full purpose, the full intent, the full power of God's love. It's not about our effort. It's about God's love being made complete in us. As a child, I would go up to Dad in the garden and say, "Dad, can I help?" And the children would say the same thing to Jill in the kitchen. Our human reaction, certainly mine, is to say, no, can I get on and do the job myself? I think I'd rather get the job done better without your interruption. And certainly in the kitchen, I know that their help means getting things messy. I still know that their help doesn't extend to washing up. Still doesn't. But that's not God's way. He says, come and get involved in what I'm doing. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We love because he first loved us. His presence within us enables us and creates in us a capacity for one to care for one another, which is part of God's plan. The intent, the purpose, the energy of God's love is made complete as we love one another. So please come back to those questions. If you have ideas, you can fill them in now, you can take them away. With NNBC, how are we caring well for each other? How might we care better? Towards our community, how are we caring well? How might we care better? Let's ensure that our focus is on caring and not doing for the sake of doing. Yes, there's a balance here. We can focus on doing. We can focus on our services on a Sunday morning being as professionally presented as possible. No bad thing in that. With a talk for 25 minutes, hopefully shorter, 3 points, or hopefully fewer. But aside from worshipping God, the most important thing that may happen here on a Sunday morning is someone coming in and having one encouraging conversation. There's a balance here between caring and doing. At this point, I'm delighted if we can invite Daphne to come up and help us. Daphne is one of a great team working with Food Bank here on Thursday morning. Daphne, if you'd like to come here by the microphone. This is one of the care initiatives, which isn't unique to NMBC. There are many other care teams, or there are many other folk from the community coming here on Thursday morning, but Daphne is a key member of that team, and she's kindly agreed to sort of answer a few questions. So Daphne, how long have you been working with the team?
7 years.
7 years?
Yeah, it's a long time. But I've known this church for 30-odd years because I was your neighbour. Didn't always get on, unfortunately. But Martin made it a lot easier, and Raywin. Yeah, it's different. The church has changed a lot.
How did you get involved in the first place?
Well, I knew Bev from the school, and I knew Raywin from another school. I was helping at Lunch Plus, and basically Raywin said, "You got a spare Thursday?" And I said, I'd retired, and I said, "Oh, okay, I'll do it for a few weeks," I said.
Did you anticipate enjoying it?
I didn't know what to think, if I'm honest. I didn't, because although I've lived here for a long time, I haven't lived here. I've lived all around the world. So I really didn't know what a food bank was, I'll be honest. I had no idea. So yeah, it was an eye-opener.
And how would you say your awareness or empathy with our guests has developed?
Some of them have you in absolute stitches. The things that they say, they assume that we're all, you know, ladies who lunch, and that we've never had a career, and we've just come and dabble. And then they realise that we're not. We're all very different, and same as the guys who come and help us. And they've got to know us, and we've got to know them. So sad thing is that you're walking down the high street and they shout out, "Hello, Mrs.," which is okay. But some of them, they just make you laugh.
Are there specific needs that Food Bank has here at the moment? Any gaps?
Well, a lot of them come because they're very lonely. And they sit here from 10 o'clock till when we sort of nearly 12 o'clock sometime. Because it's free tea and coffee, they can chat to other people, we try to give them advice or point them in the right direction. And yeah, they come for the food, because some of them really, really are struggling.
And would you recommend getting involved in Food Bank to others?
Yes. You don't have to come on a Thursday, but I mean, I know you have Bible groups and you have house groups. And really, if everyone who goes to that just brings one item and collects it, that would make a difference, because we are actually getting very short of food. Because not everybody can give. It'd just be nice if, you know, I mean, Roger comes every week and just gives a few things, and that's really what it is. And we've actually now started putting children's clothes and adult clothes out, because, again, we all know our children have got too many clothes and too many toys and bits and pieces, and we've put them out, and a lot of them have been very grateful, especially the Ukrainian families that we've got, because they've come with nothing, and that must be a horrible thought. You've come to a land where you don't speak the language very well, you don't know where to ask for help. They feel safe, which is nice. So that's really, you know, what we want to make them feel happy and kind.
Great. Thank you. And that's Thursdays 10 till 12?
10 till 12:30. We're back to our old times. Yes, we actually, last week we actually ran out of food. So we had to make things together to give them things. Well, it's on the church list, but it's dried and tinned goods. You know, basically anything that you eat, they'll eat. They will, except for some of the stuff we make your husband take home that we've had left. That Tesco's. I mean, Tesco's have been very generous. Can't fault them, you know, and they're kind. And as I say, a lot of your neighbours who are not members of this church, like as I'm not, do come over and give us things as well, which is quite refreshing. And some of the shops do as well, which is nice. They're not members of this church, but they do come and help.
Daphne, thank you for sharing that. On behalf of the church, thank you for what you're doing. Please pass on thanks to the team. I can ask the musicians to come and join us again. We love because Christ first loved us. We're going to stand and sing The Servant King. If you've written anything on your piece of paper, if you can pass that along, then the stewards will collect that and we'll have a look at the answers. As I threw my watch on the floor, we'll look at the answers in a moment. Again, those questions, how NBC might we care better for one another? But let's remind us that we care because Jesus cared for us. Jesus, we again come and praise you for your love for us. Lord, for the example that you set, but for the rescue you achieved, we praise your name. Amen. Do please sit down. Thank you so much for so many responses that I'm going to summarize these in a note around, and we'll get a full note around circulated rather than going through them. But just scanning them down, it just emphasizes the importance of individual contact. One of them I read and just highlights it: don't just look at the person sitting next to you, look at the person behind you, the person in front of you. But thank you for all of these. They're not going to be ignored. I'm going to read them, I'm going to circulate them. Some of them are telling us things we need to do more, and that's quite right. I remember many years ago, our young people undertook what they called random acts of kindness around the community, visiting folk who were stuck in, doing gardening and projects. I'm not actually sure whether random actually appears in God's language, because he can achieve purpose in anything. We underestimate the impact of a seemingly small but nevertheless caring gesture. Let us not underestimate the significance that God can apply to the smallest caring gesture that we might consider insignificant. Folk will not care for what we say until they know we care. Let's not underestimate the significance God can apply to the smallest caring gesture. Care matters. Our God cares. Our God cares for all, including the shunned. Our God's care is made complete as we love one another.